Welcome to the Livingston's Herald. It's the issue for June 2018. And as we normally do, we'll start with the editor's letter.
The old battered red case lay open on the floor. The chaotic pile of papers offered us real gems from long ago, because it had lain in the loft unopened for many years. At the bottom was a letter addressed to my father-in-law, dated 1941. It had been beautifully written in copperplate writing by his young wife, informing him of the tragic death of her young brother, who had passed away at the age of 11 due to polio. The pathos of the tragedy came across all too clearly to those who were reading it approximately 80 years on. The case also contained many black and white photos, dog-eared and yellowed by time. Some were of the Empire Exhibition of 1938, held in Bellahouston Park. Old Ardeer employees will remember the rebuilt South African Exhibition building, which was relocated locally. Other photos were of family members and signified important days in family life. Four generations, first pram, first new suit, early days at school, and so on. Most were of grandparents, parents, and relatives long passed away, but all were reminders of the characters and of important events whenever we looked at them. In contrast, nowadays, we still have many albums of early married days, but they have been largely superseded by JPEG files in USB memory sticks and SD cards. The letters have been replaced by emails, whose existence is but a memory in the ether. Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp have taken over. But they are just for the moment, difficult to conjure up memories from them.
And now the Minister's letter. Dear friends, by the time you're actually reading this letter, we'll have passed the first anniversary of my induction to the Link Church here. Maureen and I have been settling into the manse and finding our way around the area. It's a good time to reflect and a good time to look to the future. Things have changed over the last year, but then they could never stay the same anyway. I've made some good contacts in Ardeer Primary School and Glencairn Primary School, and there's been church services with both schools and monthly assemblies. At Ardeer, through the North Ayrshire Council participatory budgeting event, we were awarded some money to develop a pilot family learning project, which will run after the school holidays. There'll be more detail on that later. We had a special visit to the church from Primary 3s at Glencairn Primary School, and there are some examples of their work in the small hall. I've seen my first summer mission here, and I've seen how Ardeer Livingston and the High Kirk can work together, focusing on children and young people. We've had a few Fifth Sunday services through which we've done things differently. I know they don't suit everyone, but for me it's about our worship of God. We've had a couple of messy church, which reached a good number of families. At Easter, we explored Holy Week and celebrated our risen Christ at Stevenson Point at 7 a.m. on Easter Sunday with our friends from the High Kirk. We've started out on the path of renewal with a focus on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and the two Kirk sessions have enjoyed joint session conferences at the communion weekends. We've had evening worship on Communion Sunday, the last one being at Livingston. These services have a focus on the ministry of Christian healing. At Livingston, we celebrated with John Kerr on his 100th birthday weekend, and we admitted Alexander Chisholm as a new member. At Ardeer, we welcomed Wee Kirk at his baptism. We held a Thinking Founders Day service at Livingston for the Scouts and Guides and presented President's Badges to four young men from the Boys' Brigade at Ardeer. I'm also very grateful and thankful to God for Brian Murray's placement with us. God has blessed us richly through Brian, and I pray that he continues to do so. We have to be aware, though, of certain things as we look to the future. The circumstances of the Church of Scotland are forever moving as the Church seeks its place in today's society. There is an ever-declining number of people, members, and those who minister, which also brings a decline in available funding. You'll remember that I was inducted on a seven-year tenure, and so that brings a particular focus. Again, by the time you read this, the General Assembly will have been and gone, but there will be things to consider and ponder as a result of the Assembly, with implications for the Church locally and nationally. But more importantly than all these things is our own relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit, as individuals, as congregations, as a linked charge, and as the Church of Scotland in Stevenston. We must be able to connect with the Father to identify what it is he wants us to do in this place, what his plan and provision for us here. Prayer and focusing on the living word are vital in the relationship with the Father, and that's why we will develop prayer meetings in both congregations to pray for God's will for both congregations. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Our call to prayer is not just occasionally, but continually. From Matthew 6, verse 6, but when you pray, and in verse 9, this then is how you should pray. That's Dave's emphasis. Jesus expects us to pray and even shows us how to pray. Prayer is necessary in the life of a Christian and as God's people in this place. We need to be praying both individually and together. Please, when prayer events are intimated, come to them, be part of it, for it's the only way we can find God's will for us. Keeping you all in prayer, Dave.
Kirk Session News. It's hard to believe that it is a year since Dave joined us as Minister of the Joint Charge of Livingston and Ardeer. This period of ministry has introduced many changes and new ideas, as well as opportunities to share worship and fellowship with our friends in Ardeer. One of these new initiatives is joint session conferences. These give the opportunity for both sessions to work together in fellowship and faith. At our next conference on Saturday the 2nd of June, all elders will participate in safeguarding training delivered by our Drossan Presbytery. As many of you will know, one of our members recently had her handbag stolen from within the halls and kitchen area. We ask that everyone be extra vigilant in the security of the buildings. There are new signs on the doors, and we ask that everyone complies with these and adheres to the request that the outside doors are not wedged open with the doormat. The halls and cupboards are much in need of a good clean and tidy up. It's some time since we have done what was once a tradition in the church, a really good spring clean. We hope to undertake this after the organisations finish for the summer. As you know, many hands make light work, so we'll be looking for volunteers in the near future. Sandy Hershaw, Session Clerk. The Guild Report from Dorothy Pennell. The Guild syllabus is all but over as this report is written. At the end of February, we were disappointed that the Tsigoiners from Fairlie had to cancel their concert due to a family bereavement. We managed to arrange an old-time music hall programme, and the audience seemed to enjoy our efforts. Grateful thanks go to Matty Higgin for playing the piano at such short notice. In the same week, the Ardrossan Presbyterial Council had to cancel the Songs of Praise in St Cuthbert's Saltcoats due to snowy weather. On Friday, March the 2nd, Livingston was the venue for the World Day of Prayer. The women of Suriname wrote the booklet. We had two speakers at the beginning of March, the Reverend David Walson, A Wedding in India, and Christine Walson, no relation, told us about excavations in the grounds of Kilwinning Abbey. Our Easter service after the AGM took the form of a snack meal called agape, one of the Greek words for love. This was suitable as it brought this session's theme, Go in Love, to an end. Our daffodil tea was held on the Tuesday afternoon of Holy Week. On April the 18th, our Drossan Presbyterial Council held its ABM in the High Kirk Hall, and included the Songs of Praise, postponed because of the snow in February. It was decided that we would be ladies who lunch rather than ladies who go on a trip. We are therefore going to lunch to Seamill House Hotel on May the 29th. Our last item is the summer rally on the 5th of June to Millport on Cumbrae.
And now prayer thoughts from Andrew Tomlinson. We very much stand at a time of great opportunity. Within the congregation, a group has begun work on a stewardship initiative giving a focus on how our giving enables our Christian witness in Stevenston to be sustained. This will have as its core a gathering in October where the work of the church is on display and all members will receive an invitation to attend. As a congregation, we have embarked on a path of renewal. A group from Ardeer and Livingston have attended the first phase of a two-year programme focusing on discipleship. We have been given the opportunity to read the Bible in a year with Sunday ministry based on the readings for the current week. A prayer group has begun at Ardeer and one at Livingston to follow. Exciting, isn't it? This brings opportunity for all of us, and with it, the need for prayer. Paul writes this in his first letter to Timothy, who had worked along with him in his missionary journeys. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. As you make your requests, plead for God's mercy on them and give thanks. While it is important not to take things out of context, the sentiment expressed reminds us that as we work to improve the strength of our witness in the town, we must not forget to pray for one another. Paul goes on to single out those who are rulers and people in authority, but our prayers must go further as we pray for one another. So let us prayerfully grasp our opportunity and build a people of real Christian power and influence. His themes. Approach. Be aware that God desires to be our guide and be prepared to follow him. Confession. Bring before God the times you have missed opportunities to do work for him and ask that you will do better on future occasions. Thanksgiving. Ministry. Give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us. Holy Week events. Give thanks for the services, joint worship and lunchtime speakers. Joint services. Give thanks for the work of those who organise, set up halls and provide food at our joint services. And give thanks for those involved in the activities above and pray that more will become involved. Intercession. Path for renewal. Pray that our journey will empower us in our discipleship in Stevenston. Stewardship initiative. Pray for those involved in organising and visiting. Pray for those members no longer able to join us in worship. Young people, pray for those in transition between schools or leaving school. Summer mission, pray for successful outreach to the town's young people.
Wilson Kerr has submitted a description of John Kerr's 100th birthday celebration weekend. It was Dad's 100th birthday on the 24th of February 2018. To celebrate this milestone, we held a birthday lunch on the day of his birthday at West Kilbride Golf Course. It was well attended with relations, bridge friends and church friends. Attendees had arrived from Arran, Solihull, Dundee, Brussels and Stockholm to be there. We had a nice meal followed by birthday cake. Dad brought along his congratulations birthday card from the Queen. On the Sunday, the celebrations continued when Dad was presented with an Elder's Long Service Award at church. The certificate he received was signed by the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. After the service, we went through to the large hall where we had tea and coffee, a bite to eat, and some birthday cake. I'd like to give a big thank you to everyone involved in making this happen. It was much appreciated. Thanks also to everyone who sent birthday cards and good wishes to my dad. And now, an interview with centenarian John Kerr. Question: where were you born and where did you live as a child? I was born and brought up at Bank End Farm in Kilwinning. Where and when were you baptised? I was baptised in Livingston Church in March 1918. Where did you go to school? Have you any significant memories of your school days? I went to school in Kilwinning. I was the champion runner of the school. I even have a medal to prove that. I spent my school summer holidays in Arran, in Kilpatrick, every time the school stopped for the whole 2 months in the summer. I also spent Christmas and New Year holidays in Arran. This was with my cousin Archie Kerr, who eventually was my best man. Any memories from Sunday school days? We went into Sunday school after we attended normal worship in the church. Juniors were in the wee hall and seniors in the large hall. We had examinations and certificates were given out. What was it like to be brought up during the Depression? It didn't affect us. How and where did your father earn a living? He was a dairy farmer at Bank End Farm. He did a milk round in Stevenson every morning, except Sundays. Can you remember any of your favourite toys? I had an old wheelbarrow that I used to push round the farmyard. It only had the wheel and the handles. At what age did you start working and where? I started working at 14 on my father's farm. Where were you married and did you have a wedding reception? I was married in Livingston Church with the reception in Livingston Church Hall. Archie Kerr was my best man and Helen Pirrie was Elsie's bridesmaid. What did you do during the war? I was in the Home Guard as a driver. Any memories of being part of the church choir? We performed the Messiah once or twice. We had a great organist and choir master in Bill Archibald and Mr. Townsley before him. Any changes to the church building that you can remember? No, not really. It remains much the same. What's your recipe for a long and happy life? Behave yourself. Keep above board. Don't drink. And what about smoking then? You used to smoke. I smoked for a while. Isa Scott, who was also a smoker at one time, persuaded me and others to stop smoking. Anything else you want to share? I tried to get a week's holiday each year. I always went to Butlins. Those were great holidays. Our thanks go to John for sharing some of his memories with us.
Summer Mission will be on Saturday the 21st of July to Sunday the 29th of July. This is from Dorothy Hershaw. We are at the time of year when all thoughts turn to summer. For some of us, those thoughts started in January when we began to think about this year's Summer Mission. A small group from the three churches have met regularly with Catherine Reid and myself to plan this year's activities. The activities planned are Saturday the 21st of July at 2 p.m, Fun Day in the Highkirk Gardens. All are welcome, young and old. Why not come along and enjoy the fellowship and the barbecue? Monday the 23rd of July until Thursday the 26th, there'll be a Champions Challenge Club for children from Primary 2 to Primary 7 in the Highkirk Hall from 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m, lunch included. Tuesday the 24th and Wednesday the 25th, evening activities for Primary 6 and 7 and all secondary year groups in Ardeer Church Hall, and then supper is included. Saturday the 28th of July, 12 noon till 2 p.m, Messy Church in Livingston Church Hall, lunch included. All children must bring an adult. Sunday the 29th of July, the prayer walk, starting at St John's Church and finishing at Ardeer Church for afternoon tea. We have decided this year not to deliver leaflets to the houses in the parish, so we ask that you will share the above information with friends, families and neighbours. We will continue to deliver leaflets to the schools and organisations. This very full programme demands a lot of help and support, and we have been very grateful in the past for the willing band of helpers from Livingston. If you feel that you can help in any way, please let Catherine or myself know. The work of the Summer Mission is an important joint outreach from the churches to the local community, and a great chance to work in partnership and fellowship with our brothers and sisters at Ardeer and the Highkirk. Please pray for God's guidance in the preparations for the Mission Week and for his blessing on all those involved. In addition, congratulations to Sarah and Martin Gray on the birth of their son Fraser Martin on the 6th of April 2018, a new little grandson for Pat and Gordon.
A report on the April joint service from Margaret Craik from Ardeer. Sunday the 29th of April, being the fifth Sunday in the month, was a joint service and, as with previous fifth Sunday services, was a service with a difference. The start and close of the service were fairly traditional with the usual hymns and prayers, and at the end of the service we had lunch together in the hall. Thanks to Livingston for an excellent lunch. It was great to be able to sit and chat with people rather than rush off home and most people were able to stay, so the hall was full and there was a lively buzz. The focus of the service was prayer, and in particular the Lord's Prayer. The reading was from Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 to 15, where Jesus taught his disciples about prayer. The minister spoke briefly about the passage. Then we moved round six bases, each base looking at one aspect of prayer. The bases were both practical and thought-provoking and gave you the opportunity to think personally about the Lord's Prayer. Base one was about God's character and the fact that we are precious to God. We were asked to take a piece of the jigsaw and pray quietly to ourselves to see what God wants us to do. A jigsaw isn't complete until all the pieces are in place, and God wants all of us in his kingdom, or it won't be complete. Base two was about God's kingdom. At this base, there was a map of the three towns, and we were asked to pray for someone, something, somewhere in the three towns, our local area. We have a responsibility to pray for those around us, and there are plenty of people in need close to us. How can we bring God's kingdom to Stevenston? Base three was about God's provision. There were sweets and food on the table. We were asked to take time to say thanks for all that God gives us, not just food, but everything he gives us. Then we could have something to eat. The children really liked this base. Base four was about God's forgiveness. There was a bowl of water and some paper and pens. We were asked to write on the paper either someone we wanted to forgive or some of our own sins. We then put the paper into the water and asked for God to take away our sins and to help us to forgive others. Rather than just thinking in general about forgive us our sins, it was an opportunity to stop and think about particular areas we need to work on personally. Base five was about God's guidance. We were asked to take a verse and think about it, and to ask God to reveal the purpose he has for us, knowing that he will support and guide us in all we do for him. Base six was about God's protection. We were asked to seek God's protection for either ourselves or others by writing their name down and hanging it on the prayer tree. There were also Scrabble tiles, which we could use instead. We all say the Lord's Prayer regularly, but we don't always stop to think what it really means. What is God trying to say? We say it out of habit. We say it by rote. This was a good opportunity to stop and think more deeply about prayer, about ourselves and what it is God wants us to do. I'm sure different people took something different away from each activity, and that's the way it should be. What did I take away from the service? I felt that the bases helped me in what had been a difficult week, to stop and think more deeply than I usually do about what God wants for me and about the areas of my life I need to work on. It also gave me the chance to be thankful for everything he does for me and to ask him to take care of all those I know and those I don't know who need his comfort and his love today. Finally, a quick question for you, and it's a true story. Why is there a horse in the Lord's Prayer? This was the question my mother, aged 7, asked her mum one day after church. My gran said there wasn't a horse in the Lord's Prayer, but my mum insisted and quoted the exact words, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our dead horse." My gran patiently told her what the right word was and then went on to explain what it meant. During our bases, we had the chance to explore what the Lord's Prayer has to say to us.
And now the Fabric Report from Arthur Taylor. Boilers. Work is still going on about the heating. The boilers have had their annual service. There are some small parts that need to be replaced, otherwise all is well. Hall windows. This job is now finished. The windows have been scraped, sanded down, washed and painted. Bell tower toilet. The paint in the disabled toilet in the bell tower is flaking badly. We have started to scrape it off and will lightly sand the walls. The walls will then be coated with PVA glue and finally painted with a silk or matte finish. Lock. The counting house lock has now been replaced. It was found that the door is catching the carpet. This is to be planed down soon. Loose plaster. A Church of Scotland surveyor has examined the premises. He has found that there are a number of loose slates in both church and halls that may be letting in water, therefore damaging the plasterwork. Fire extinguishers. They were inspected by the engineer and found to be in order, apart from the two powder ones which were out of date. They have been replaced. Future projects. There are some loose floorboards in the church on the left, that's the school side of the pulpit. This needs to be investigated. And there are small patches of flaking paint in the walls leading to the gallery. We'll put this on the list to be dealt with. The presbytery report comes from Finlay Kerr, the presbytery elder. The presbytery welcomed members of the Guild Presbyterial Council. The council's annual report was delivered by Moira Buchanan, who gave a brief summary of the projects the Guild is involved with. This is the third and final year of their Be Bold, Be Strong initiative. After Go in Peace and Go in Joy, this year's theme was Go in Love. She highlighted the six main projects the Guild is supporting: Street Pastors, Care for the Family Initiative, Let's Stick Together, and Prospects All Friends Together. And the overseas projects, Christian Aid in Bolivia, Haiti Relief, and initiatives involving female genital mutilation and its effects on girls. As of January, £570,000 had been raised for these projects. 2018 is the 50th anniversary of the ordination of women in the Church of Scotland. To mark this, the Reverend Elizabeth Watson from Lumlash, ordained 37 years ago, gave an account of her experiences as a candidate and as one of the first women ministers. While delivered with her usual humour, some of the events and attitudes described showed little Christian empathy. Tanya Webster from Park recounted her experiences entering the ministry 30 years later. Fortunately, these were free of the bias of the earlier period. Reports from Presbytery Planning Conference was given, which presented a pessimistic view of the church's financial position over the next 5 years. There was indication that 121 would look sympathetically on churches trying to change their premises or selling them in order to relocate. A view was expressed from the floor that it looked as though the finances were being allowed to direct the church's mission rather than the other way around, and that these misgivings should be passed to the General Assembly. As it was decided that there was too little time before this year's Assembly, we would wait to see what the report when presented to Assembly actually said before commenting further. The Brodick Manse will have to be demolished and rebuilt, as it is in an unfit state for habitation. For a house that is only 22 years old, something has been done very badly. Dorothy Granger's demission was passed, and a letter of thanks from Dorothy was read to the presbytery. Lumlash were granted £750 ministry and mission reduction for Path of Renewal, and Cumbrae £9,000 due to unforeseen expense in their church build. Church and Society. We are considering ways of collating issues that concern members so that a more coordinated response can be made to councils, Scottish and national government. Members can be made aware of these small issues, which individually do not make headlines but collectively can highlight problems. For example, elderly people having to cope with online services, lack of banking facilities, etc. Co-winning Older running a bus to Heart and Soul during Assembly Week, and anyone interested should contact Isabel Beck. Message in a Bottle is being promoted by the Rotary, and we'd like local churches to advertise their campaign.
The Church Projector System. Several members of the congregation were asked for their comments on the projector system. Here are their replies. Unbelievably, a year has now passed since the new projector-based system was introduced and the printed sheets confined to the dustbin of time. Such is progress. Ross deserves our grateful thanks for his efforts in establishing and maintaining the system and for the preparation of each week's on-screen service. Thanks too to his helpers. But a year later, what do we think? Considering the magnitude of the work, it has appeared seamless. There were a few early hiccups, some display problems, and more recently a failure of one of the TV screens. There were a few stiff necks, solved by us and others moving back a few rows. and probably some others of us paying a visit to the optician. What's left to do? Very little, we think. Perhaps a bigger minimum font size on the TV screens, as those using them generally can't move closer to get a better view. What's missed? Possibly a brief summary of the main intimations and service changes for the following weeks, shown for a few minutes at the end of the service. All in all, a great job, Ross. Thanks. Helen and George White. We feel the projector system used in the church is well set up and easy to read. We like the way the Bible readings are displayed as they are read. The occasional use of multimedia clips in the past has been good. We're happy enough with the current format, which is clear and sharp, no need for reading glasses. Obviously, there will be savings as well, as we don't need as much paper and printing of the order of service. Gavin and Margaret Patterson. With regard to the Sunday morning hymn intimation wall projections, there are some of us who are partially sighted who cannot always see the projection on the right-hand wall. This is especially true when the sun shines, then the contrast is very poor. Accepting that typed copies are available, I find the print too small for easy reading of what are now unfamiliar hymns to me. Also, the projected intimations disappear too quickly for easy reading and recollection. The hard copy version was very beneficial in this respect. Matty Higgin. Here we are a year on. Are we used to it? I'm sure most of us are, as we all have reasonably adapted and come to terms with new technology. I do like knowing in advance the hymns we're going to sing and the Bible readings. It's also good to know who are doing the various jobs, like welcoming people, doing the readings, serving the teas. The intimations are useful but may be difficult for those with sight problems, and we were used to having paper reminders, so I think this is missed. I really have to hand it to Ross. His visuals are amazing. I personally asked him to do an intimation for the daffodil tea at South Beach House, and it was really lovely. Thanks for that. All in all, I'm sure we would all say what a success it has been. Mary Wilson. Given the negative publicity regarding the misuse of digital technology, it was expected that the projection of computer-generated images on the wall of the sanctuary might raise a few eyebrows. Indeed, they were raised, but only because the images of the hymns and intimations are well above eye level. With faces no longer buried in a hymn sheet, this should have improved the quality of the singing. For those members of the congregation with reasonable long-distance vision, the system has worked well and is a superb credit to Ross, whose labours, sometimes both night and day, have benefited us all. The numerous intimations of which we no longer have a hard copy often fade from memory and are perhaps best recorded by having one's diary open with a pen at the ready as the images flash up before us. Remembering to refer to the diary at a later date is another matter altogether. Bill Munn. The editor expresses her thanks to all those who took the time to give us an idea of their impressions.
Here is an overview financial report from our treasurer. The balances at the end of March are also shown with comparison with last year. The general fund, we had a negative balance of £6,700. Last year it was £2,500, so it's quite a bit bigger in a negative way. Fabric fund, this year £7,600, last year £7,000. Designated funds this year $4,800, last year $4,700. Restricted funds this year $1,200, last year $1,500. Flower fund this year $2,000, last year $1,980. The James Little bequest. This year $36,600, last year pretty much exactly the same. Beneficiary fund, $100,000 both years. The James White bequest, £600 is against £560 this year. Total assets for this year, $146,500. Last year it was $150,000. Offerings, the totals this year, $8,470. last year 8,996, an overall decrease of 5.9%. Income in the general fund this year 8,500, last year 9,000. Expenses this year 10,800, last year 10,900. Bank balance last year 2,709. You will note that the cash balance at the end of the month is now less than our average monthly expenditure. It has dropped from almost £6,000 in January. While we may have sufficient income in April to cover our expenses and we are due dividends in May, I think the margin of uncertainty is too great. The session has decided to withdraw up to £5,000 from our reserves to act as a cash buffer to prevent our cash account becoming overdrawn. This is the first time in my 10 years plus as treasurer that I have had to withdraw reserves to cover normal expenses. Please remember, if you pay tax at all, then the church can claim gift aid on your donations. If for whatever reason you find the free will offering envelopes inconvenient, offerings can be made through a standing order. The form for this can be obtained from the team in the vestibule after each service. And that's from Finlay Kerr, the treasurer.
Church diary. Regular worship on Sundays at 10 a.m. The discipleship group on Tuesdays at 10:30 a.m. The elders' conference on Saturday the 2nd of June at 9:30 a.m. Communion Sunday is Sunday the 3rd of June with service in Livingston at 10 a.m. and a service in Ardeer at 11:30 a.m. The annual stated meeting for Livingston Parish Church is on Wednesday the 6th of June at 7 p.m. It's a good time to meet together and hear about how we've been going and what the future might look like. I look forward to seeing you there. Every blessing, Dave. And please see weekly intimations in church or refer to the church website for ongoing events.